Members, please take your seats. Turn off, silence all electronic devices and cell phones. Children, Families, and Senior Subcommittee will now come to order. Jude Lean, please call roll and announce quorum.
Chair Coster?
Here.
Representatives Basabi?
Here.
Fairfield?
Here.
Black?
Here.
Borrero?
Here.
Gossett Seidman?
Here.
Harris?
Here.
Joseph?
Here.
Lopez?
Here.
Maney?
Here.
Michael?
Here.
Placencia?
Here.
Rainer Goolsbee?
Here.
Roach? Roach? Robinson?
Here.
Tremont?
Here.
Williams is excused. And Woodson?
Yeah.
A quorum is present, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Jude Lean. Welcome, members. Today we have 5 bills on our agenda. But before we get started, I'm going to take just a quick moment of personal privilege and recognize in the audience my beautiful daughter, Sadie, and my niece, Madison, and my sister, Tara, who was brave enough to drive 4 kids up from Tampa for spring break this week so that I could spend spring break with my babies. So welcome to the Florida House. Love you guys. All right, first up on our agenda is going to be HB 875, Dependent Children, by Representative Tribolsi. Representative Tribolsi, you're recognized to explain HB 875.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and good morning, everyone. Good morning, Ranking Member Robinson and Vice Chair Maney. It's so good to see you today, this cold morning. So this morning I have the privilege of introducing House Bill 875. And thank you all in advance for the phone calls and texts that you gave me in reply to reaching out to you. I appreciate the good questions. In Florida, the guardian ad litem office represents the child's legal interest with a multidisciplinary team, including child welfare professionals and a guardian ad litem attorney. The bill provides that all guardians ad litem are fiduciaries and must provide independent representation to each child using the best interest standard of decision-making and advocacy. Whereas an attorney ad litem enters into an attorney-client relationship with a child under the rules regulating the Florida Bar. Additionally, this bill requires that statewide guardian ad litem office to develop a training program, consultation, and technical assistance for attorneys ad litem and chief judges. The guardian ad litem office is currently representing over 90% of Florida's children in dependency court and has been approved by the federal government to receive funding through Title IX-E of the Social Security Act to represent the remaining children. These changes clear the way for guardian ad litem office to serve every abused, abandoned, and neglected child represented for the first time in Florida's history. Although it is current practice, this bill will remove language indicating a guardian ad litem appointment is optional and emphasizes a guardian ad litem is appointed to every child at the earliest possible time during dependency proceedings. This bill provides that an attorney ad litem may, in fact, be appointed after determinations are made by the court and standardizes this throughout statute. It also removes provisions related to special needs when considering the appointment of an attorney ad litem and allows the judge to appoint an attorney ad litem when they deem necessary. Approximately 900 youth transfer to adulthood from foster care each year. Once the youth exit foster care, they are often left without someone they can count on for ongoing support. This bill finally will provide these youth with community lifelines that will help them with challenges of independent living with provisions from the First Lady's Hope for Florida initiative. The statewide guardian ad litem office will work with youth to identify a supportive adult that will enter into an agreement with them and maintain an ongoing relationship. The guardian ad litem office will also develop and maintain a mobile application that will identify resources for youth that are transitioning into adulthood. And the bill provides grants for financial literacy and prep for ACT and SAT. These same supports will be provided for 6 months for the youth that have been reunified if they are 14 years or older. And Madam Chair, that is the bill.
Thank you, Representative Tribolsi. There is a strike all amendment. So Rep. Tribolsi, you're recognized to present amendment barcode 836939.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This amendment is really simple. It first is basically a conforming amendment of conforming to the Senate version. And also the only substantive change is that it allows the guardian ad litem to transport the dependent youth. It does not require them to transport them. It just authorizes them to transport them. And that is the amendment.
Thank you, Representative Tribolsi. Members, any questions on the strike all amendment? My bad. We can go ahead and ask questions on the bill and the strike all since your chair messed up. So Representative Roach, you're recognized for two questions.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative Tribolsi. And thank you for reaching out last night. I know we haven't had a chance to speak. Just two quick questions. Does the judge already have the ability to appoint an attorney ad litem if they deem it necessary? Is that something the judges can't do already?
Yes, they can.
Oh, you're recognized.
Chair, I apologize. Yes, they can if they deem necessary.
Okay. I guess why the language in the bill to put that in statute if that's already something they can do?
You're recognized.
Gosh.
It's okay.
It's early, Chair. Yes. So thank you for that question, Representative Roach. The reason is because sometimes the privilege is a little bit overused, and attorneys ad litem are the attorneys that are not always advocating on behalf of the child. They're actually advocating for the wishes of the child. And we want to keep it clear and concise in the guardian ad litem program that first and foremost, they will have a guardian ad litem attorney. And then if further deemed necessary, they will have the attorney ad litem, even though at this point, a judge can also appoint an attorney ad litem.
Okay, and then one more.
You're recognized.
Thank you. And is the statewide guardian ad litem office supporting the bill?
You're recognized.
Thank you. Yes, they are.
Thank you.
Members, any additional questions about the bill and the strike all? You're recognized, Representative Joseph.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you. Have you received any opposition or concerns about the bill that haven't been addressed in the strike all?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. I've had a lot of questions on the bill itself for clarification purposes, but really no concern on the bill.
Follow up.
You're recognized.
For those questions, has anybody requested any additional amendments to the bill beyond the strike all?
You're recognized.
Thank you. No, they have not.
Thank you.
Any further questions, members? Okay, and we will go into public testimony on the amendment. Dennis Moore, statewide guardian ad litem office, is a proponent of the amendment. Did you want to speak, Mr. Moore? Waving in support of the amendment. Okay, members, any debate on the amendment, the strike all amendment? Okay, seeing none, Representative Tribolsi, you're recognized to close on your amendment.
Wave close.
Okay, without objection, we'll show the amendment adopted. And now, members, we are in public testimony on the bill as amended. And we have Cheryl Sattler, an opponent of the bill, wishing to speak. Come forward, you're recognized.
Yes, it is early and cold. I am a child advocate. I've spent the last 5.5 years working with the children in foster care who receive attorneys ad litem. And I would just like to call the committee's attention to a couple of things. First of all, in 2014, this program was created by this legislature in recognition of a huge problem in the state and these specific categories of kids. Let me just tell you who gets an attorney ad litem if they're lucky in this state. Children who are trafficked, children who have developmental delays, children who are being considered for placement in a residential psychiatric ward, children who are being considered to be placed in nursing homes, and children who are on psychotropic meds. These are very serious meds to which they cannot assent because they are children. I also want to remind you that it was the Guardian Ad Litem program who helped to create this program in recognition that attorneys ad litem work well beyond the dependency case. These are children with tremendous needs. They're the most vulnerable kids in our foster care system. For $1,000 a child a year, which is a bargain, attorneys ad litem provide holistic representation. That includes the Agency for Persons with Disabilities. It includes Medicare. It includes so many things, because we know that these kids get into the system because they have problems at home, but those problems do not end under Chapter 39. And I thank the committee for remembering that these are such vulnerable kids and that this program was not created frivolously. This program is a bargain and is so important for our very, very vulnerable kids. Thank you.
Thank you so much for being here. And then Dennis Moore, statewide guardian ad litem program proponent of the bill. Waving in support. Thank you. Members, that concludes public testimony. We are in debate on the bill. Members, any debate on the bill? Representative Michael, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative, for bringing this. This is so vital and key. I was a guardian ad litem volunteer back in Jacksonville, and this is something, a program that's dear to my heart. I know that I remember many Christmases of just trying to raise funds so that we could get gifts to every child, so that every child in the program would at least get two gifts. And thank you, and thank you for caring about our children.
Representative Woodson, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Rep. Tobosi, thank you for bringing this bill forward. Children who are neglected, abused, or kids who are aging out of foster care, those children are dear to my heart. And every time I see some good work being done to support those kids, I'm all for it. But I also appreciate you reaching out and answering all the questions that I had as well. Even one question I had late, I told you you can answer it this morning. You went ahead and answered it late last night. So I appreciate your hard work on behalf of the children of Florida. So thank you so much.
Ranking Member Robinson, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Chair, and I'm gonna keep it quick. I just wanted to thank you for this work. I understand personally how important it is for these children to have someone to look out for them. My mom actually used to be a foster parent, and this was back in the 90s, and we didn't necessarily have these type of programs, and there's so many children that went through the system that could have really benefited for it. So happy that we have the program and that you're working hard to make sure that we get it right. Appreciate it.
Representative Lopez, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you so much for this incredibly good bill. I see my own Voices for Children director here, Katie Black. I have worked closely with our own community in Miami-Dade County with respect to the Guardian ad litem. It has been an incredible program doing incredible work, and I'm so grateful that you would clean it up, make it better every single time. And I read this bill, and I was just thrilled. So thank you so much for caring enough about the children that were described earlier, people who really do deserve to have some representation. So thank you so much for this bill.
Seeing no further debate, Representative Tribolsi, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for your feedback and, again, your good questions last night and this morning. I hope that I can not only address you this morning, but I can address the opponent of the bill and hope that I can change your mind, because this is a very good bill that serves our children well in the state of Florida through the Guardian Ad Litem program. And let me just be really, really clear and frank with you and let you know that a guardian ad litem attorney, which is appointed and will be appointed to every child in dependency through this bill, a guardian ad litem attorney is an attorney. And this is an attorney that that works on behalf of the child and what their needs are. And there is certainly a place for attorneys ad litem, and we welcome the attorneys ad litem when a judge deems necessary. But it's not always necessary to have an attorney ad litem, because a guardian ad litem is looking after the best interest of the child. And an attorney ad litem, when you enter into that agreement, there is that confidentiality and that client attorney privilege that sometimes there are things that just cannot be disclosed to the judge, and that can often not be in the best interest of the child. So with the registry that was formed in 2014, which includes things like children who are residing in a skilled nursing facility or prescribed psychotropic drugs or has a diagnosis of a developmental disability, I would have to say that these children need a guardian ad litem, because they are not able, they are not in the right capacity to direct an attorney ad litem, which is what that privilege would give. So that is why I believe that this bill is so important to clear up. And yes, we did, we were advocates. The guardian ad litem was advocates of this registry in 2014, but like many things that we bring before the legislature and put into law, sometimes we have to come back and make them better. And that's exactly what this bill does. And again, I appreciate your time, I appreciate your support, and I appreciate the advocacy on behalf of the children of Florida. And with that, I close on this bill.
Representative Tribolsi, having closed on the bill, Jude Lean, please call roll on HB 875 and announce the vote.
Representatives Basabi?
Yes.
Bearfield?
Yes.
Black?
Yes.
Borrero?
Yes.
Gossett Seidman?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Joseph?
Yes.
Lopez?
Yes.
Maney?
Yes.
Michael?
Yes.
Placencia?
Yes.
Rainer Goolsbee?
Yes.
Roach? Roach? Robinson?
Yes.
Tremont?
Yes.
Williams? Woodson?
Yes.
Chair Koster?
Yes.
16 yeas and 0 nays, Madam Chair.
Members, by your vote, HB 875 will be reported favorably as amended. Thank you. Congratulations. Next up, we are going to take up HB 201, Criminal Defendants Adjudicated Incompetent to Proceed, by our very own Vice Chair Maney from the podium. Vice Chair Maney, you are recognized to explain HB 201.
Thank you, Chair Koster, and thanks for not referring to me as the late Vice Chairman.
You are always very prompt.
Ranking member and members of this committee, it's my privilege and honor to bring you a real simple, short bill, but it's a very important bill to military families.
And Rep, you're on 201, you're on your criminal defendants incompetent to proceed
bill.
Thank
you.
You're welcome.
This is also a very simple and short bill, and it's also a very good bill. And unlike the bill I started to address, this bill comes to me through my experience as a judge and from my former public defender and state attorney, who pointed out a problem with the processing of incompetence provisions under the law. And it's a very good staff analysis on this bill, but under the law, just briefly, if a defense attorney thinks their client is incompetent to proceed in a criminal case, they have a hearing with the judge. A judge can send the defendant then to DCF for an evaluation, lasts up to 6 months. If the evaluation shows indicates the defendant is competent, defendant comes back and the trial just proceeds. If the DCF evaluation says they're incompetent and not likely to regain competence, that's where I think we have a breakdown in process. At this point, currently, the department sends the person back and sends an evaluation back. The court has basically 72 hours to either have a hearing on civil commitment or to release the person. 72 hours in court time frequently isn't enough. Electrons sometimes get there first, and sometimes the person gets there first. And so we have incidences where the functioning of the system has a dangerous person accused of a new crime released back to the public. This bill is designed to keep from having multiple evaluations, save money, save time, and get the court the information it needs to determine whether the person should be sent to Baker Act, whether the person should be sent to persons with Agency for Persons with Disabilities, whether the person should be sent to Elder Affairs. For Baker Act, for instance, the law requires a sworn statement essentially by a physician. DCF has lots of physicians. They're currently sending reports back that are not sworn, so that can't be used for a Baker Act. So you have to go through the whole system again, have a new evaluation, pick the person back up. And this bill simply is designed to streamline that, to protect liberty, to protect public safety, and to save money. That's the bill, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Vice Chair Maney. Members, any questions of the sponsor? Seeing none, we are in public testimony. No public testimony. Members, we're in debate on the bill. Members, any debate? You're recognized, Representative Rayner Goolsbee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Maney, thank you for this bill. I'm gonna try to use intelligible words, but I've had no coffee and it is 8:34 in the morning. But I do want to thank you for this bill. As a practicing criminal defense attorney and who started my career in the public defender's office, this is definitely an area that that has a lag, right? I think of clients of mine who I represented as a public defender, but also in private practice, who had significant competency issues, and I felt that we were handling their case for 2 to 3 years longer than it needed to be, and there was really no resolution. But we all saw what was happening, and even the judge would say, I remember there's a particular judge would say, You know, Ms. Rayner, I understand, I agree, but my hands are tied because the law does not give me any latitude to do what needs to be done. So I thank you for addressing this, because this is a serious issue that does happen, and especially as defense attorneys, when we're trying to do what's right for our clients and make sure that we're preserving their liberty and their rights, even if they are incompetent to proceed. This really closes that loophole and that gap. So I do appreciate you. It is a simple bill, but it's a good bill and a very important bill. And so I thank you for that.
Thank you.
Seeing no further debate, you are recognized for a brief close so we can get to your other really good bill.
If I can remember which one it is. Thank you, Madam Chair. I waive close.
Vice Chair Maney, having waived close, Judeline, please call the roll on HB 201 and announce the vote.
Representatives Basabi?
Yes.
Bearfield?
Yes.
Black?
Yes.
Borrero?
Yes.
Gossett-Seidman?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Joseph?
Yes.
Lopez?
Yes.
Maney?
Yes.
Michael?
Yes.
Placencia?
Yes.
Rayner Goolsbee?
Yes.
Roach? Robinson?
Yes.
Tremont?
Yes.
Williams, Woodson?
Yes.
Chair Koster?
Yes.
16 yeas and zero nays, Madam Chair.
Members, by your vote, we show HB 201 reported favorably. Vice Chair Maney, don't go far. You are up again on HB 1155, Provisional Child Care Licensing. Vice Chair Maney, you are recognized to explain HB 1155. Again.
Thank you for your indulgence again. And personally, I want to thank you for scheduling these bills before the committee today. I very much appreciate it. This is also a simple bill. This is the one that comes to you from my experience judging and being involved in the military in Okaloosa County. And the situation, the problem that this bill addresses is not only it is a microcosm of the bill, of the problems facing the state at large, and that is child care facilities, the lack of child care facilities. The microcosm is that military families are typically young, typically with children, and typically move around a lot. So in areas close to military installations, there is a greater shortage of child care facilities. Military services provide on base or on post child care, but it's not enough to meet the demand. And so frequently military dependent spouses may have in-home child care that they offer that are licensed and all that. But when they transfer from one state to another, there's a lag time in getting a Florida license, even though if they may have been licensed in North Carolina or Washington State or someplace. All this bill does is direct the Department of Children and Families to issue an interim license, recognizing that the new interim licensee has completed the DOD training and has been licensed in another state, which includes the background check and all that, criminal records check. It's an interim license. They then have time. They can go ahead and start working. They have time to then complete the Florida requirements, which are basically the same but slightly different. And that's the bill, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Vice Chair Maney. Members, any questions of the sponsor? You do such a thorough job explaining the bill that there are no questions. Is there any public? Oh, I'm sorry. Wait, we have two amendments. Without objection, we are going to show amendment barcode 969641 withdrawn. But Vice Chair Maney, you are recognized to present amendment barcode 312691.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This amendment just makes clear that the department must issue the interim license, the provisional license, and it sets an effective date. It's very simple. That is the amendment, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Members, any questions on amendment barcode 312691? Okay, you're recognized to, is there any public testimony on that amendment? No. Okay. Members, any debate on the amendment? You're recognized to close on your amendment.
I'll waive close with the explanation that I want the committee to know I have worked with DCF on both of these bills before they were filed and set. Thank you, Madam Chair. I close.
Okay. Without objection, we're going to show the amendment adopted, and we are now in public testimony on the bill as amended. No appearance cards. Members, we are now in debate on the bill. Members in debate, Representative Woodson, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Rep. Maney, thank you for bringing this bill forward. We know there's a shortage of child care facility. As a previous assessor, I used to be an assessor who goes out and assess the child care center, family daycare home, aftercare, in my previous life. We know there's also a lack of quality child care facility. We don't have enough of them who are accredited as well. So this bill is really solving a problem that is so much needed, because we want our kids to be in facility where the person is licensed, credentialed, and also where they can receive the good care that they deserve in order for them to be ready to enter school. So I appreciate you bring this bill forward. And if you have a provider who was in another state, who came to our state, they should be afforded the opportunity to begin with a provisional license. So I really appreciate you taking on this bill, and I look forward to all of us to support you on this great bill. Thank you.
Any further debate? Representative Michael, you're recognized in debate.
I typically don't talk this much, but Representative Maney, this is dear to my heart. Being a retired military spouse who did have in-home daycare in our home, when we were stationed in different places, it was very difficult to continue that on because you have to go by the state licensing requirements. And you're absolutely right that this is a challenge that military families face, and it's a grave challenge because now you're in a new place, you don't know anyone, you don't have any family to help you, and the military spouses become your family. So they are the ones that you tend to trust to look after your most precious thing to you, which is your children. So thank you for bringing this bill, and I also have a military base as part of my district. So I am so excited to be able to tell them that you resolved a big problem that they face. So thank you.
Seeing no further debate, you are recognized to close on your bill.
I want to thank the staff for excellent work supporting getting these clarified and presented. They were here late last night getting it done, and I appreciate everyone who did that. And with that, I close.
Vice Chair Maney having closed on his bill. Julene, please call roll on HB 1155 and announce a vote.
Representatives Basabi?
Yes.
Fairfield?
Yes.
Black?
Yes.
Borrero?
Yes.
Gossett Seidman?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Joseph?
Yes.
Lopez?
Yes.
Maney?
Yes.
Michael?
Yes.
Placencia?
Yes.
Rainer Goolsbee?
Yes.
Roach? Robinson?
Yes.
Tremont?
Yes.
Williams? Woodson?
Yes.
Chair Koster?
Yes.
16 yeas and zero nays, Madam Chair.
Members, by your vote, we show HB 1155 reported favorably as amended. Congratulations,
Vice Chair. Thank you. We're on our way.
We are. Next, we are going to take up HB 757, contracts entered into by the Department of Children and Families by Representative Altman. Representative Altman, you're recognized to explain HB 757.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. House Bill 757 is another step in the right direction as we continue to improve our child welfare system here in the state of Florida. This bill reduces the time a child is in a child care in cases where the parents are, actually reduces the time a child is in state care in cases where the parents' rights are terminated by the court. If a court finds cause to terminate parental rights and there's a family willing and able to give a child a loving home, there should be no delays in placing that child. I do have an amendment, Madam Chairman.
All right, we're going to do questions on your bill, and then we'll take up your amendment. Members, are there any questions of the sponsor on the bill? Okay, seeing none, you are recognized to present Amendment Barcode 778893.
Thank you. This amendment conforms our bill to the Senate version. It clarifies the intent of the bill, which is to require lead agencies to complete the final child-specific portion of the Unified Home Study. This is an attempt to decrease the time it takes to complete the administrative requirements to reduce the number of days a child is in the system.
Members, any questions of the sponsor on the amendment? Okay, do we have any public testimony? No. Okay, members, any debate on the amendment? You're recognized to close on your amendment.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. This will maximize the use of concurrent case planning, minimize the time to complete preliminary and final adoptive home studies, streamline data entry into the statewide child welfare information system, and reduce time to permanency.
Okay, so without objection, we will show the amendment adopted, and we are now in public testimony on the bill. Seeing no comment cards, members were in debate on the bill as amended. Any debate on the bill as amended? Okay, you're recognized to close on your bill.
I waive close, Madam Chairman.
Okay, Representative Altman having waived close. Julian, please call roll on HB 757.
Representatives Basabi?
Yes.
Bearfield?
Yes.
Black?
Yes.
Borrero?
Yes.
Gossett Seidman?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Joseph?
Yes.
Lopez?
Yes.
Maney?
Yes.
Michael?
Yes.
Placencia?
Yes.
Rainer Goolsbee?
Yes.
Roach?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Tremont?
Yes.
Williams? Woodson?
Yes.
Chair Koster?
Yes.
17 yeas and 0 nays, Madam Chair.
Members, by your vote, HB 757 will be shown reported favorably as amended. Thank you. Congratulations.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. This has sort of felt like a homecoming. It's so good to be here.
All right, members, we are going to take up our last bill on the agenda, HB 1119, withholding or withdrawal of life prolonging procedure by Representative Burfield. Representative Burfield, you're recognized to explain HB 1119.
Good morning, and thank you, Madam Chair, Vice Chair, Ranking Member, and committee members. House Bill 1119 seeks to strengthen our state statutes governing adult guardianship by giving the wards, their families, and other interested parties the legal authority to object to what's called a do not resuscitate or a DNRO. And it improves a guardian's capacity to make end-of-life decisions. This is in the best interest of the wards. For those of you who may not be familiar, For those of you who may not be familiar with this process, when an individual is unable to make legal decisions regarding his or her person or their property, a court may appoint a guardian to act on his or her behalf. A person who is serving as that guardian actually serves the individual as the ward. And a guardian may oversee a ward's person, their property, or both of those items, depending on the extent granted to them by the court. That is a brief description of the bill, Madam Chair.
Great, thank you. Members, any questions on the bill? Okay, seeing none, we do have an amendment. Representative Burfield, you're recognized to present amendment barcode 651803.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, you have a strike all in front of you, and the strike all makes structural changes to clarify the provisions in the bill, and it limited the substantive changes to more clearly define a guardian's role in the end-of-life decisions-making process. Specifically, it's narrowing the exemptions for when a court-appointed guardian does not have to seek approval or consent for a DNR. Finally, the strike all also preserves. Lord, I'm having trouble. I apologize. I am telling you, the strike all also preserves the rights of the ward, their next of kin, and other interested parties in guardianship proceedings. Specifically, the strike all makes the following changes to the statute. First, it's preserving a ward's life, end-of-life care wishes prior to guardianship. In other words, if you are someone who has expressed a desire prior to being placed under somebody's guardianship, those wishes will stand. It's a way of protecting their actual wishes. Under current law, we are not always seeing that pre-existing desire being followed or adhered at this point in time. Providing it right provisions for the ward is another provision of this piece of legislation. Current law does not grant a ward his or her family or other interested parties to the guardianship legal standing to object. So in other words, if your family member objects, that doesn't actually register at this point in time. So we're seeking to address that issue currently. Additionally, the strike-all will provide exemptions when court authority is not required for a decision to execute an order for do not resuscitate if the ward is in the hospital. So those situations would be there is no reasonable medical probability for recovery or cure for the underlying medical condition. A second reason would be the ward is at an end stage condition, or that ward's medical condition is inevitable or irreversible. The decline and death is imminent. The third condition would be the resuscitation will actually cause physical or mental pain or harm. So that is a description of the strike-all.
Thank you, Representative Burfield. Members, any questions on the amendment? Okay, we do have some public testimony on the amendment. Olivia Babis, Disability Rights Florida, waiving in support. Brian Cherry, Florida Public Guardian Coalition, waiving in support of the amendment. Thank you. That concludes public testimony on the amendment. Members, any debate on the amendment? Okay, seeing none. Representative Burfield, you're recognized to close on your amendment. Just on the amendment.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair. I waive the close.
Okay, without objection, we're going to show the amendment adopted, and we are now in public testimony on the bill as amended. Olivia Babis, Disability Rights Florida, a proponent of the bill, wishing to speak. You're recognized.
Good morning. I felt it was important to speak this morning to just kind of share perspectives on how opinions can evolve and change by speaking to other stakeholders and trying to understand people's perspectives. The companion to this bill was actually heard in the Senate yesterday, and we waived in opposition. It did not have the strike-all, which we, you know, supported that amendment, of course. But our perspectives on this bill have changed by meeting with other stakeholders. We originally looked at this bill and had kind of a visceral reaction to it in response to the Rebecca Frehley case, which is why guardians were no longer permitted to sign DNRs on behalf of people. And we looked at that as an absolutist type of position. We agreed that a DNR should stay in place if somebody signed that prior to being placed under a guardianship. However, we felt that the authority granted to an agent under healthcare directive, healthcare surrogacy, power of attorneys, that those should not be transferred to a guardian under any circumstances was kind of the position that we were taking. However, I have dealt with my own personal experiences, unfortunately, recently with a death in my family and with talking to some of the other stakeholders about cases involving, you know, not being able to sign a DNR. I realize how quickly somebody can build up a tolerance to morphine, via my grandmother who recently passed. And we are all about, of course, personal autonomy and making personal choices. That is a big part of our mission. However, we're not looking to torture people. And we know that there are circumstances where, at the end of life, a doctor cannot legally prescribe enough morphine to keep someone comfortable because they have built up such a high tolerance that they need a dosage that is higher than what is recommended. And a doctor cannot prescribe that unless there is a DNR on file. And I know that it can take days for this to go through a hospital medical ethics review, that there has to be court approval. And in the meantime, that person is suffering. And that's not something that we're wanting to see. I know that there is no way to ever 100% guarantee that we're not going to run into a situation where someone did want life-saving treatment and a DNR was signed on their behalf because there was just no way to ascertain what that person wanted unless we can build, you know, a mind-reading machine somehow. There are just circumstances. We understand that. But we didn't want to sacrifice the good for the perfect. And I don't know that there is a way to make that perfect where that never happens. But we believe that the provisions that were included in the bill and the ones that were added through the strike-all provide adequate safeguards against those types of situations happening. So we are actually happy to have evolved our position after meeting with stakeholders, and we're happy to actually waive in support of the bill today.
Thank you so much for being here and also just for sharing with us how this process works. And, you know, I agree that, you know, perfection is the death of progress, right? And this is a good bill towards progress, and we really appreciate you working with us and with all of the stakeholders and for you being here just to share that perspective. Thank you. And if you do make that mind reader, please share it with us. Next, we have Karen Campbell, North Florida Office of Public Guardian, proponent of the bill. You are recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair, committee members. I want to thank you, Representative Burfield, for sponsoring this bill. And I want to thank you for giving me an opportunity to share my thoughts. And I want to thank you for what you said, because it is the reason why I am supporting this bill. I am a public guardian for North Florida. It's North Florida Office of Public Guardian. And we serve in 22 counties in North Florida. And I've been doing this for 22 years. So I remember when guardians could make these decisions without court approval. And I have been making these decisions the past 2 years under the current law that requires court approval. And it is the situation you described that just brought me to tears, because it was what two of my people we worked with who died agonizing deaths because they couldn't get morphine, because I couldn't get to the courthouse in enough time. So let me go to what I wrote down. This is an important bill for guardians and the people we serve. It builds upon and enhances what the legislature already put in place. It moves that conversation about a DNR to the beginning of the guardianship and not in ICU at the person's bedside as they are transitioning. This bill ensures that guardians are following the wishes of protected persons as they've stated those wishes in advance directives that they made before they were incapacitated. And this bill helps prevent delays in honoring a person's wishes and will ensure that courts will still oversee the guardian's decisions as required by the 2020 legislation. I love the provision that requires notice to be given to next of kin and any interested person, because that's there to make sure if there is a conflict, if there is an objection, a court has to hear it. I've done 11 of these since 2020, and not once have I had an objection. And so I'm on board with taking them to court if there is an objection, but I like the fact that we can serve the person if there is no objection. As guardians, we really appreciate clear guidance in the law to help us make the decisions that we have to make. And this bill gives greater clarity to the courts and greater clarity to the guardians. This bill will help us as we make these important decisions. And I appreciate you hearing it. I hope you support it. And if I may have a point of personal privilege myself, I want to give a shout out to my spouse of 40 years and the love of my life. He's standing behind that wall. He's a sergeant at arms. I love you. And this is really getting back at him. He's also a pastor, and every Sunday when he gets the mic, he says something about me. So I had the mic, I had to say something about him.
Before you leave the podium, I love that. But also, thank you for what you do. Guardianship law is an incredibly complex, nuanced area of the law, and I know only enough to be dangerous, but I currently represent a ward in his divorce, and I've been working very closely with his public guardian, and I know how hard he works and how deeply he cares about
my client and his client. And so I just appreciate what you all do every day. It is not an easy job. So thank you, and thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Brian Cherry, Florida Public Guardian Coalition, waving in support. Shantae Jones, AARP Florida, waving in support. And that concludes public testimony. Members, any debate on the bill as amended? Ranking Member Robinson, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Chair. And I just want to thank the representative. I really want to thank you for the amendment. I think the amendment was really, really important to be able to allow families to have some say, because that was always pretty concerning to me, that once they got the guardianship, kind of families' voices sometimes was limited. So I just wanted to make sure that we pointed that out, and thank you for it. And as we continue to build this process, that we do it together and we think about the person and their families all together.
Seeing no additional debate, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would tell you that this bill has taken a journey. As was mentioned, with the strike all, it is something we have sought to work with staff. They have been very gracious with their time and their assistance. We have been able to identify challenges for those who would actually impact and address those issues to ensure that that individual, as you mentioned, Representative, is always on the forefront, that person is being taken care of, their wishes are being heard, and that we're securing what's in their best interest. So I appreciate your favorable support today.
Representative Burfield, having closed on the bill, Julian, please call roll on HB 1119 and announce a vote.
Representatives Basabi?
Yes.
Bearfield?
Yes.
Black?
Yes.
Borrero?
Yes.
Gossett Seidman?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Joseph?
Yes.
Lopez?
Yes.
Maney?
Yes.
Michael?
Yes.
Placencia?
Yes.
Rainer Goolsbee?
Yes.
Roach?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Tremont?
Yes.
Williams? Woodson?
Yes.
Chair Koster?
Yes.
17 yeas and 0 nays, Madam Chair.
Thank you, members. By your vote, we show HB 1119 reported favorably as amended. Members, that does conclude our agenda for today. Representative Lopez moves we rise. Without objection, the meeting is adjourned.